Well, thank you for that warm introduction, Pastor Mike. If we haven't met, as Pastor Mike mentioned, my name is Leanne. I'm one of the pastors here at 10th East Van. It's lovely to be here with you this morning on the last Sunday of 2024. Typically, this is the Sunday that people are still recovering from binge eating induced by holiday gatherings, or they are on a tropical island somewhere sipping on pina coladas, escaping the winter, or they might be taking advantage of holiday shopping Boxing Week. So kudos to you for being here this morning. Circling back to binge eating, we'll call it feasting, as I was preparing for today's sermon, I was reflecting on some of the gatherings myself and my family had in this December. I have some pictures here today as show and tell. It all started early December as a team of East Van staff and their families, we had a dinner at Pastor Mike's home. Still the photo. And that was the calm before the storm. And then next we had our daughter's fifth birthday gathering at home with our families. Some Chinese food takeout, and that was part one. She's the one wearing the pink birthday crown, and she had a lovely time that day. But forward to the next week, it was the first day of winter break. It was raining, and we had 65 people under one roof at a local community center gym. We had bouncy castles, we had face painting, balloon twisting, and many little-sized cars with kids on it that can ram into your shins. That was chaotic, but she had lots of fun. And then fast forward to Christmas Eve, we had a family dinner as well, but we had some guests with us. On the left, in the very back, you'll see my husband, Sam, who is on the couch by himself because he was feeling under the weather, so he was social distancing himself. And then on the right, you'll see a lady in black, and her name is Emily. She used to come to the East Van community, and when I saw her at Christmas Eve, I accosted her and dragged her to her house to have dinner with us. On the right, on my right, your left, you'll see a lady with white shirt with black stripes, and she is my acupuncturist. If you sense there's more to that story, there is, and I would love to share that with you momentarily. So if you are like me, then this December may have felt especially busy for you. Between the Christmas plays and the Christmas parties and meal gatherings and birthday parties, it was pretty chaotic. But I also want to take a moment to recognize that for some of us in this room, this Christmas may not have been a festive one. In fact, it may not have been a festive one for you for several years. Maybe you're experiencing some type of loss or grief. Maybe you have loved ones that live far away and you cannot be with them this time of the year. Or maybe you're experiencing estranged relationships, and this time of the year can be extra tough. Today, we'll take a look at a banquet that Jesus talks about and the people invited to this banquet. If you have your Bible with you, would you please turn with me to Luke chapter 14, and it will also appear on the screen. And we'll read from verse 15 to 24. This is God's word. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we get a taste of your banquet, that your invitation to your kingdom extended to us all. Help us today to reflect on the grace that's extended to us and call us into action, to lead us in your love to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, early in the chapter, we learn that Jesus was dining at the house of a Pharisee, discussing the kingdom of God, and he was being carefully watched by them. And as one of the guests, presumably another Pharisee says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus answers with this parable of the great banquet. Now, for Luke's audience, the imagery of a banquet depicted the unlimited joy, abundance, and bliss that will be enjoyed by those who will enter the kingdom of God. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 25 that at the inauguration of his kingdom, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meat, and the finest of wines. See, the dinner guest is assuming that he and the Pharisee class are a shoe-in into God's kingdom. But Jesus addresses the nature of God's invitation to his kingdom, and that is his upside-down kingdom. And he explains this using a parable, as he often does. See, in the ancient custom of hosting a banquet, it's very similar to that of a wedding in our modern day, in that the save the days and the RSVPs are sent out well in advance to prepare the guests for the party. Now, the difference is that in ancient custom, when the feast is ready, the servants would go and announce to the invited guests that they can now come and enjoy the feast. And in this parable, the certain man is God the Father, and the servant is Jesus, who is announcing to the invited guests that the kingdom of God has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ himself. This is the moment that Israel has been waiting for centuries, the inauguration of God's kingdom. Those who were originally invited must now come and enjoy the feast. And here the invited guests included the Pharisees that were dining with Jesus. But the irony is that when they hear the kingdom is ready and the banquet is ready, these privileged religious elite of Israel rejected the invitation and missed the party. They all found something better to do. In the parable, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. One commentator remarks on the diversity of their arguments, but the similarities of their intention. One had a field, another had some oxen, another one got a new wife. But they all alike have placed the invitation to God's kingdom, to this banquet, lower down in their scale of values, and they rejected the gracious host's offer, an offer that they have accepted in the past. Now, we might not be buying fields, and with the price of real estate in Vancouver, who can? we might not be keeping oxen at home as our pets or are getting married, at least not on a regular basis. But notice that the ones who have rejected him are those who regarded business endeavors, material goods, and even family as more important. How often are we committed to other things that we regard as more important that we leave no time to pray, to worship, to read our Bibles, to spend time with God? Overvaluing work, overindulging, over-prioritizing family and relationships. These can become excuses that keep us away from God's invitation. Now, you might be saying, Pastor Leanne, I can get on board with the first two, but family, really? Hashtag family? Don't get me wrong, the Bible places a high value on family and relationships. But in comparison with the kingdom of God and loving God, all other preferences should come after. And Jesus, in Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he's not saying don't love your father or your mother, don't love your son or daughter, but he is saying in comparison of accepting God's kingdom, all else comes next. And one could argue that we cannot truly know how to love our friends and family unless we experience the love of God and we love God. I was speaking with our very own Pastor Mike Bennett on Jesus and family, and he said this, and I quote, that Jesus might be saying, don't use the sacredness of your family relationships to put me on the sideline. Include me in your decisions with regards to your family. In other words, bring your family and friends to the banquet. Don't just ditch the party altogether. Has anyone experienced this? That you hosted a party and guests flake out last minute and ditch the party? I certainly have. I was reading this article on VancouverIsAwesome.com, and someone wrote, the snow is in Whistler, but the flakes are in Vancouver. And this is an unflattering phrase describing the social ill that is creeping into our behavior patterns. And this rampant West Coast condition actually has a nickname. It's called the BC Bail. And BC Bail is when you make plans and in the back of your mind, you know that you might not actually go through with whatever it is that you just agreed on. That you would cancel last minute if you get lazy or it rains outside or you found something better to do. And if you're on the planning side of the event, how would that make you feel? Let's read on. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant to go out quickly into the streets and alleys and invite those and bring in those who were poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. We see how the master responded to the trifling excuses made by the originally invited. He extends the invitation to those of the lower class. And in Jesus' days, this would be the nobodies, the leftovers, the unimportant, those who live on the margin. I remember reflecting on the same passage at the Momentum Moms Group one Thursday morning this past September. And the leader asked us, who are you in this story? And I remember thinking to myself, I once was the poor. My mother and I first came to Canada in 2001, and we lived in this tiny storage room at our landlord's basement. It's barely wide enough to fit a bunk bed in which my mother and I slept in. Every morning, I would wake up and I would bump my head on the ceiling. we had this makeshift bathroom, which also doubled as our kitchen, which now to think of it, it's not the most sanitary arrangement. And we had to keep the bathroom fan on at all times just to get some air circulation into our room. And even then, in the morning, it feels like we are lacking oxygen and we have to open the doors right away. And it is during this time that someone invited us to church, prefacing that they've held potlucks every month. And every month, we would go to church and everyone would bring the food they want to share and we would bring our empty stomachs. And we were the poor and the needy, the immigrants, the single mom with a daughter, but someone invited us to be part of the banquet. See, we weren't people that were easily invited anywhere because we were new to the country, we didn't really speak the language, we didn't know anybody, and we certainly didn't do anything to deserve to be there. And thinking back now, I often feel a little bit embarrassed because I was this 12-year-old girl and I would go back for my third and my fourth helping, looking like I haven't eaten much for days. And sometimes that would be true. But I felt no judgment from the people of God. And not only that, they would send us home with trays and trays of leftovers. And that was how I was able to bring lunch to school for the next week or two. Every time I share with people how I've come to know God, I tell them I entered the church for a bite to eat. But little did I know, I've received the bread of life. In John 6, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." By receiving and accepting the invitation extended to me, I not only satisfied my physical hunger, but my spiritual hunger. And furthermore, I've been adopted into the family of God. Later in the parable, the servant says, "Sir, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." The servant was sent to a countryside of indicating a further geographical area radius than the previous order. And one commentator explains that for Luke's early audience, this would signify getting all kinds of unexpected people to join the party. And not just the Gentiles who were not of Jewish descent, but people with every kind of moral, immoral background, people quite different from them culturally, socially, ethically, and ethnically. You and I, unless we're Jewish, would be considered to be in that category. And now we are at the table. We are grafted into the household of God. And since we have been grafted into God's family, we are now followers, disciples, students, imitators of Jesus. So in the parable, the host is God the Father, and the servant is Jesus. And we are followers of Jesus, so we must go and do likewise. Philippians 2 says that Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Could God be calling you or me to participate in a more intimate setting? By imitating Jesus, who took on the role of a servant to extend that invitation to those who are yet at the table. Now, the phrase "compel them to come" may seem a little forceful to our modern ear, but this does not imply that someone would enter the kingdom of God against their will. In ancient Palestine, people politely refused invitations until they were persuaded to accept. Sometimes it takes a long, repeated invitation for someone to become curious about God. I have a friend who I've known since she was 17, so I've known her entire adult life. And whenever possible, I try to share Jesus with her in non-creepy ways. And when things are good, she will almost disappear from my life. But when things are bad or she feels lost, she will be more receptive in hearing about Jesus. She once made a deal with me that if I go with her bar hopping on St. Patrick's Day, then she would agree to come to church with me. I have a picture documenting the day's event. She's the one that's kissing me on the cheek. I had 4 beers that day, and I do not drink beer. She was 20 at the time. She is now 32. If you do the math, that's 12 years. And this Christmas was the first time that she has accepted my invitation to join us and our family to a local Christmas concert. Now, she didn't have a life-changing experience or anything, but God does not ask us to be faithful to the outcome. He asks us to be faithful to the call. And sometimes being faithful to that call can be a little uncomfortable. It can feel a little bit awkward at first. Earlier, I shared the photo of our Christmas Eve dinner with my acupuncturist at the table. I recently started doing acupuncture treatments, and 2 weeks ago, as I laid on the treatment table and as my acupuncturist jamming needles in my back while I'm half naked, I've learned that she is new to Canada from South Korea and that she did not have family here and she was going to be alone on Christmas Eve. Some of you may know my husband's family is Korean, and I knew that we were going to serve Korean barbecue for dinner. I felt awkward and uncomfortable, both metaphorically and physically, because she was actually stimulating those needles as part of the treatments at the time. But I sensed the Spirit leading, and I know my family will welcome her with open arms, and they will make her feel at home. So I worked through the discomfort and I blurted out, "Would you come to Christmas dinner at our house?" And amazingly, she said yes. Christmas Eve rose along. We actually had a bit of a hiccup. She got a last minute booking on Christmas Eve and she finished her work at 6 p.m. But she is not from BC, so she did not BC bail on us. She had to Uber from Coquitlam all the way to our home at East Van. And we had a lovely time together, lovely conversations, and my family sent her home with some of my mother-in-law's famous homemade kimchi. For everyday parties, what do you have to do to get invited? Well, you probably have to know someone. Or you probably have to know someone who knows someone. Or maybe you have to build yourself a level of prestige that people will want to have you at their party. But the kingdom of God's invitation is different. It's gifted to us. We don't have to know anyone or do anything to deserve it. We just have to receive it. It's extended to all of us. In a moment, we'll partake in communion together. And communion is a time that we come to the table and we are reminded that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth as a servant to die for our sins so that we can have a seat at the banquet prepared by God. This, my friends, is the good news. If you haven't taken a seat at the table yet, today you can consider this to be an invitation and come as you are. and for the rest of us who have already joined the table, we each have our unique social circles. And I cannot reach who you can reach. We were once the outsiders, the poor in spirit, but now we are grafted into the household of God. And if grafted, then we must also become servants as we follow Jesus' example. We are charged to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the local, global communities of people who have yet to know God. The famous theologian and author N.T. Wright says this: it isn't enough to say that we ourselves are people who are dragged from the country lanes to our surprise to enjoy God's party. That may be true, but party guests are then expected to become party hosts in their turn. Brothers and sisters, friends, the table is ready. The kingdom of God is at hand, but there's still room. Where could God be sending you in 2025 to extend the invitation? Could he be saying to you to go to your workplace, your schools, your neighborhood, the mission field, and compel them to come in so that my house will be full? Who is God summoning you to extend that invitation in 2025? Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that is extended to us. Help us to reflect on this grace and help us to be an instrument of your love to those around us. As we step into 2025, help us to see the people around us that need you, and help us to be reflection of you in this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.